things.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. We're talking to local and statewide candidates for a number of races. Among the other topics that we cover on this program, one of the new entrants in the race for governor joining us, Republican Bob Tiernan. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, you bet, Kyle. How are you doing?
Doing good on a Friday. So tell folks a little bit about yourself, your background, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, a lot of people have probably heard the name because I'm a former chairman of the Oregon Republican Party. Took it over when it was a little bit disarray and got things going well. But let me start back at how I came to Oregon, which is Oregon State University. I'm a big Beaver, spent 4 years there, graduated, was on the rowing team, the crew team, where we were quite good at what we did and taught me a little bit about tenacity and hard work. From Oregon State, I went to law school at Seattle University and got my JD degree. After Seattle University Law School, I went to Georgetown University and got a master's. After that, I started in the workforce and worked for several companies. I was a general counsel for one, and I started businesses on the side that did fairly well in some and not so well in others. But as my career went on, I learned a lot about business, and I was very lucky and became president of a couple of major large companies that were in need of help and need to be turned around. One of them there you know very well in the Roseburg area is the Grocery Outlet. I was president of Grocery Outlet for 4 years. And after they were suffering some growing pains and things weren't going well, I managed to get in and turn around the company. After Grocery Outlet, I went to another major retailer about the size of Fred Meyer's named Raley's. Did the same there. It was 3 years. Helped turn around the company as one of their executives. And after that, I went back to my regular business, which is consulting businesses on how to fix their problems. All during that time, I joined the Navy in 1983, right after graduating from Georgetown. I spent 28 years in the United States Navy as a Navy commander on a special intelligence. I think I got out. I was a targeting officer. Went in as a Soviet analyst and had 28 great years of serving my country. One of the things I look back on with probably the proudest joy, besides my family, in my life. Then there's my political career, which I was former state legislator from 1992 to 96, and I was chairman of several committees, including the Crime and Corrections Committee, where we passed many laws to help Oregon become a safer place. We had everything from sex offender registration to elder abuse. But the thing that didn't pass my committee was Measure 11. We had, at the time in the early 90s, late 80s, Oregon had become a very, very liberal in their criminal penalties. Robbery was 3 years. Robbery was 18 months. Rape was 3 years. Murder was 8 years. And you get frequent flyer miles if you stole cars in the Portland metro area. Well, we didn't like that, but the Democrats shut it down. It didn't pass the legislature, so I rolled it out in a measure called Measure 11. And it was I was chief petitioner. And that is the backbone of our criminal justice system today in Oregon is Measure 11, where you take rape, robbery, murder, and we put some stiff penalties behind it in order to create some deterrence. And yes, those are the same people that our governor right now is letting out of prison, which is a whole other story. But ballot Measure 11, chief petitioner. I was also the chief petitioner for Measure 17, which is make prisoners work. Because if you put them in prison, you got to give them a skill when they come out. So that was a very popular measure. Both these measures passed overwhelmingly and is some of really strengthened our criminal justice system. And that's what we need right now because, my gosh, the Democrats are trying to undo it, and we've got to fix it.
Now, you've kind of pulled back from things for a few years, haven't been heard from as much. What caused you to get back into the race and get involved again now?
Well, I was dedicated to putting money into the bank because my three little ones ended up becoming big ones, and they went to college. So that's when I was doing my executive stints at Grocery Outlet and at Raley's. But what got me back into it, my gosh, you know, I'm up here in Portland right now, and the City of Roses is no more the City of Roses. It's a garbage heap. It's just unbelievable looking at all the trash along the roads, all the homeless encampments, all of the campers on the sidewalk, the garbage everywhere, most of the businesses shut down. They're, Portland looks like a boarded up city. You know, in the Navy, I went to a lot of third world countries. I went to Sierra Leone, Liberia, Ghana, Panama, Guatemala. And, every time you leave the airport, one of the third world cities, all you see is garbage everywhere along the side of the street. Well, you know what? That's what Portland looks like. It's disgusting. Oregon has not been solving its problems. And the homeless situation has become intolerable. It is spreading to a place close to you. It's now in the three metro counties. It's in Bend. It's in Salem. And it's getting worse. And it's intolerable. We're not doing any favors for allowing the homeless to live in these intolerable conditions. It needs to be fixed. And in my business life and in my military life, that's what I do. I fix things. And that's my history. That's my background. I'm a schooled business executive, and I know it can be done. But that's what got me in our lawlessness in the Portland area and the crime wave that's going through the state. And then we got our governor, of course, letting the serious felons, over 1,000, out of prison. That's disgusting, and it's making Oregon unsafe.
I've been watching Oregon politics my entire life, really, since always living in the state. And though I haven't gotten it officially confirmed, I'm pretty sure this is the most people that we've ever had running for governor. At last count, 32 between the Democrats, the Republicans, add on an independent or two. A lot of people already jumped in knowing that. Why go ahead and go for it?
Well, first off, there's a lot of people who want to be governor. Okay, whether it's 20 or 30 or it becomes 40, that's nice. You want to become governor, but you have to have the experience, the background, and the education to do the job. The state has 48,000 employees. It has a host of agencies. I mean, probably nearly 100. You got the education system. You've got a lot of responsibility, and the state needs to have some major changes that don't happen by themselves. You need somebody who's used to turning things around, who's used to taking on tough problems and marching them to a solution. And that's what I do. That's what I did in business quite successfully to multi-million and multi-billion dollar companies with thousands of employees. I know how to do it. And that's what we need in our governor. We haven't had a governor in this state except political governors since Victor Attia. He was the last businessman with seasoned experience on fixing things that we had running our state. And in my opinion, it's been kind of sliding downhill ever since. And of course, Governor Brown, she sits whole new low. She has no experience running a popsicle stand, and yet she's governor. So I think you need two things. Yeah, you got to have a desire to be governor, but you've got to hire the person who can do the job and who has proven they can do the job. And that's why I got in. And that's what I'm going to do. I am going to solve the problems that we're facing. And I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to get results.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County, Part 2. When we come back, Bob Tiernan, Republican candidate for governor. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1, still putting together some of next week's programs for Inside Douglas County, but more candidate interviews and other topics around the Umpqua Valley in the mix as well. Bob Tiernan, Republican candidate for governor, with us. Now, his announcement, Bob, your announcement of running came just a few days ago. What's the response been so far?
Oh, the response has been overwhelming. I think a lot of people remember when I was in the legislature in the 90s and what we accomplished for the in the criminal laws and tightening them up. And not only that, but passing those ballot measures after the legislative session. And they know I'm no nonsense. They know I know how to accomplish things. They know that public safety is my number one concern. And they know I will get things done. So it's been very good.
What about the financial end of things? I mean, you've talked about your business background to run a race for governor and make substantial headway. You've got to see the contributions. Are those starting to come in?
They are. I can always use more. Hello, folks out there. It's BobTiernan.com. BobTiernan.com. I put in myself $500,000. I had one of my largest clients who is very appreciative of the work I did for them and turning around their business donated another $500,000. So I have a very good start. I wouldn't have run unless I could raise the money. But I need everybody out there helping to change Oregon. It's not a one-man show. Our problems are many. We've been going in the wrong direction for a while. And to put my Navy commander hat on, we need to take the rudder and put it in a different direction. I know how to do it. I'm seasoned at it. I won't make excuses, but I will get it done. And that's what I need help.
Speaking of finances, what were your thoughts on the recent revenue forecast?
Oh, my gosh. Well, having almost $1 billion, if not more than $1 billion of extra money is dangerous when you throw it into a Democratic committee or Democratic Senate or House. You know, it's how can we spend it and how fast can it go and you know, who wants it? The problem with our revenue forecast, the problem with how we spend our money, we do not need more taxes. Our taxes have gone up, I think, I forget how many billions of dollars of new taxes. The new sales tax on your car, go buy a new car. Look at that extra $400 or $500 you're paying. It's a sales tax. Oregon is taxing its businesses out of the state, and it's doing so because it can't control its budgets. We have these automatic roll-ups. Every 2 years, every agency gets their automatic 6 to 8% without any analysis on how they're spending their existing money. Where is it going? Are there not programs that need to be shut down, retooled, eliminated, combined? That doesn't happen in state government. So it takes some strong leadership to say no and stop feeding the dragon, and let's keep our budgets at status quo, and let's look at how we're spending our existing money, tune ourselves up, and move forward after that.
As you look around how the state does spend money currently, what priorities would you adjust, places you would have less funding or more funding?
Well, our number one priority is to keep Oregonians safe, period. And I mean major period. And we're not doing that. The first thing, stop letting out, prisoners. Obviously, that's going to be an automatic. But how I would spend money is I think we have enough money to take care of our correction system. But we do need more police officers. We need more state police. We need to support them. We need to support the prosecution. And we need to have the jail and prison space for anybody who wants to be a lawless or commit felonies and arrested. We need a place for them to go. Now, luckily, the governor has freed up about 2,000 beds because she let folks go, and we're down to 13,000 inmates. We have 2,000 empty beds. A lot of our county jails have some space. And bottom line is, if they need more dollars to house criminals who are willing to commit felonies and make our communities unsafe, we need to fund that first.
You talked about state police. I'm reminded that even here locally, early this morning, happened to be a traffic crash situation that was normally under the jurisdiction of state police, but no one was on duty. And for many years, it used to be that there was always 24/7 coverage for OSP. Do you think that needs to come back?
Absolutely. You know what? 99% of our police force that protect us do an absolutely outstanding job. They need to be supported with funding. They need to be supported in their tools, in their equipment, and we need the support of the community for the great job that they do. But we have to fully staff the state police. We need to have patrols out on the street. We need some of our rural counties especially to have extra officers. The state can afford to do that. I will grow our state police force. I will add police where they're necessary. They are the backbone of what government's supposed to be doing, and that's keeping us safe. And they're failing miserably up here in the Tri-County area, and it's trickling to all over Oregon. And we've got to stop it.
What do you feel like the role of the governor should be in guiding the state?
Well, the role of the governor, he or she is a chief executive officer. They're the president. Their role is to hire really good people, give them direction, to set out plans to correct problems, to hold people accountable for not solving problems, for firing people who are not doing their job, for hiring the best, directing the state in the priorities of keeping our schools open, keeping our police fully funded, keeping our education system the best it can possibly be. Yes, there's a lot going on the governor's plate, but what a governor needs to be is a chief executive officer that needs to direct, set the tone, set the plans, hold people accountable, let them go if they're not doing their job. And all the appointments that the governor makes, you do it based upon who is the most skilled, who's got the resume, who's proven themselves to be able to solve these problems and run these agencies, and not do political appointments, not do appointments based on who donated to me or who do I like or who's like me. We need the best of the best helping direct our state agencies. And there's a lot of heads of state agencies, in my opinion, that need to go.
How would you work with the legislature if you're elected governor?
That may be a tough assignment. It depends who's there. You know, the Peter Courtney's in the world. I love Peter. We disagree on a lot, but he is he's a good soul. I could deal with him. It'd be like Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Now Peter's retiring. It really depends who's in the seat. But I have a long history of working with in adversarial positions, of keeping my eye on the ball, of solving the problems, of creating coalitions, and doing whatever it takes to get the job done without making excuses. I expect the legislature to do the same, and it's going to be my job to lead the state in a direction. It's not always easy, but it can be done.
One of the things the legislature is looking at now is raising the level of pay for lawmakers in Salem. What do you think of that proposal?
I think they should earn it first. You know, we're paying them to do their jobs right now. I don't think we're getting much of a return on our investment. I think to a great extent, the lack of leadership and some of the legislators and way our government's been acting, we're not getting our big bang for the buck as it is. So, no, I would not raise salaries right now. In fact, I would look at probably more reforms in how we pay people. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there's 3,500 state employees that make more than the governor. And you know that we have probably, I think it's like 40 or 50 people making nearly $500,000 state employees on state salaries. I think we need to look at what we're paying everybody. Perhaps some folks need more money. Some folks, it's not, you know, they're overpaid. The legislature, I wouldn't give them an increase until we saw some performance from them.
What are your thoughts going between now and the May primary? How active are you going to be in getting around to folks in the state?
Well, it's going to be harder for me because I'm getting in late. Most of the folks have already been in for a long time. I've only been in for 4 days. It took me a lot to decide to run. I've been in 14 elections. I've won 10 and lost 4. I know what it's like to become a human dartboard and run for office. I'm not doing this because it's, you know, I want to see myself in the light. I've had a very successful life. I got a great family, and I've been blessed, as my dad has said. But it's time for us to come together and solve the problems of this state and turn it back to what it was. You know, on Monday was our 163rd birthday of our state. What do you think our founders would have said looking around the Portland metro area and looking around what has become, you know, a garbage town. It's disgusting. It's time to change that. And it's been going on too long. We need leadership. That's what I intend to do.
Real quick as we wrap up, how do folks connect with your campaign?
The easiest way right now is just go to BobTiernan.com. Just BobTiernan.com.
All right, Bob Tiernan, the candidate for governor. I'm sure we'll talk with you again. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle, great job. Thank you.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.